This recording was made during the Abstinence Through the Holidays event on October 30th, 2021, sponsored by the Sacramento Valley Intergroup. We welcome Mary S. from Stockton, California.
So happy to be here and thankful for the invitation. So let me just start with my story. I've been in OA since March of 1985 in Chicago, Illinois. And I came into the program at 250 pounds, over 250 pounds. I don't know exactly how much it was because at 250, I stopped weighing myself. I didn't want to know, you know, denial. I was on that river called denial. So what I need to do is be transparent here. And that's difficult for me. Let me just say that I am a compulsive overeater who is a sugar addict and still struggle with this program. I have lost 65 pounds three times in OA. And why am I sharing that? Believe me, I don't want to, but I want to share that for the person out there who is still struggling. Now, I consider myself a chronic relapser. Today, I am abstinent, and today, I'm grateful. But I just needed to say that because after 30 years in program, you would think that, you know, I know I'm a slow learner, but come on, 30 years, I should have gotten it by now. But the good news is that I recognized the fact early on in my very first OA meeting that this was a place where I needed a seat. I also recognized the fact that it was the last house at the end of the block. There was nowhere else for me to go. I had been through the pay and weigh. I had tried every diet, every shot, every pill, every bariatric doctor that was out there. I had tried it all. But what I heard at OA was my story told by so many different people that it was undeniable that this was a place where recovery took place and it was a place where I could belong. And that feeling of fellowship is what I felt at that very first meeting. And at that very first meeting, I got a sponsor, the smartest thing I ever did. This sponsor was like a drill sergeant. She didn't take any of my crap. She didn't take any of my excuses. She didn't want to hear any of that. She knew the big book backwards and forwards. She would refer me to page 85, page 76, page whatever, whatever. But that was because she knew it. And I was so grateful for her and for the time that she spent with me. But today we're talking about abstinence through the holidays. And let me just say that the reading for today really spoke to me because it talked about resigning from the debating society. One of the biggest debates we have in OA is abstinence versus food plan. You know, that those two terms just get so intertwined, we just still haven't gotten it straight in our heads. You know, my abstinence is no sugar, no, that's your food plan. Abstinence means, and I had to look up the definition because I wanted to make sure I got it right. So Merriam-Webster says, abstinence, the practice of not doing or having something that is wanted and enjoyable. Sounds like a good definition to me. And then some of the synonyms for that word, self-denial, sobriety, temperance. And what is an antonym for that word? Self-indulgent. Well, guess what? I could really identify with that. So they gave an example of the use, and it said a cleric preaching abstinence in a world where self-indulgence is regarded as a virtue. You know, one of our problems, or my problem, was self-indulgence. You know, once I became an adult, I could put whatever I wanted to in my mouth when I wanted to. Nobody could stop me. Nobody could tell me what to do. And I ate myself all the way up to 250 pounds. When I became pregnant with my daughter, I gained 60 pounds. I would send my husband to the store each and every day to get something from Sara Lee. If you can believe that, I ate one of those each and every day, and then was surprised when I would go into the doctor's office and they would weigh me and I had gained 5 pounds in a month. Like I said, when my daughter was born, she weighed 6 pounds, 11 ounces. And I say that because I just wrote it down. Her birthday is tomorrow, so I know how much she weighed. Not the 60 pounds that I gained from stuffing my face with Sara Lee. So that was the self-indulgence for me. So let me just say that as I thought about the topic for this workshop, I felt the need to share my experience, my strength, and my hope on the word abstinence. And this is an example that I share with newcomers that come into our Zoom room. There was a person who at one of our prayer meditation meetings, he knew that he was an alcoholic and he knew that I was a compulsive overeater. I used to go to a prayer and meditation meeting for AA, even though I was not an alcoholic. And so after the meeting, he came up to me and he said, "I just don't get your program." And so what do you mean? He says, "Look, everybody has to eat. Everybody has to eat. I just don't get your program. I'm an alcoholic. I know I can't drink, but everybody has to eat." And I thank my higher power for giving him the answer. And what I told him was, you know, you alcoholics do a lot of drinking. You drink water. You drink soda. You drink a ton of coffee. I said, so it's not the drinking that triggers your addiction. It's what you're drinking. It's the same thing with compulsive overeaters, or at least for this one. It is not, I have to eat in order to sustain my life. I have to eat in order to nourish my body. I have to take in sustenance, but I don't have to have over-processed food. I don't have to have sugar in excess. I don't have to have those crunchy, salty snacks that my body likes to eat. So it is not, you know, it is not so much the fact that I am eating, but it's what I'm eating. And I thank God for my sponsor this last time, who early on told me to identify those foods that were red light, green light, yellow light. And that if I was eating those particular foods, then I was not abstinent. And if I was eating in a larger portion, then I should. And believe me, I had to go and review what an actual portion looked like. Guess what? An actual portion is not a whole plate full of food. I was drinking juice. And when I finally looked up to find out what a portion size for a glass of juice, found out it was 6 ounces and I'm drinking a 16 ounce glass of juice, I have 3 portions. So I had a distorted view of what a portion size was. And I had to get all of those things back in a proper parameters in order to be abstinent and in order to lose weight. So for me, it's important to remember that abstinence is the key. If I never trigger my addiction by eating those foods that are my red light foods, carbs, sugars, crunchy things, then I don't have that problem. Again, if I don't put my hands on it, you know, then if I don't put my hands on it, guess what? It doesn't end up in my mouth, no matter how hard, you know, I try. When I go to the grocery store, there are certain aisles. We all know how the grocery store is laid out. There are certain aisles that I do not go down. When I get ready to check out of the grocery store, I go down the dog food aisle, the pet food aisle. guess what? I don't have a pet in my house. So there is no way that I'm going to pick up anything down that aisle and put it in my cart. And better yet, I've found Walmart.com. So I don't even have to set foot in a store if I don't want to. So these are all things that I have to put in place in order to stay sane, in order to stay healthy, and in order to do the self-care that is so much needed for me. So let me say that, you know, today, because I am abstinent, I have options. I have options today. I have choices that I can make. And I have to remember that my disease is threefold. It is physical, which is what brought me into the rooms. It is emotional, and it is spiritual. And I have to remember that three-leg stool. I need to keep all three legs in proper balance, because if I don't, if I just focus on that physical, guess what? I'm going to topple over. Eventually, that stool will topple over and I will fall. So let me also say that, you know, we have tools in this program, and we're talking about how we're going to be abstinent through the holidays. And yes, for me, the holiday will start tomorrow and it will go through January the 1st. So how do I stay abstinent throughout this period? One of the things that I had to do and have to do in order to keep my disease at bay is to use the tools of this program. So what does that mean for me? That means Zoom meetings. Guess what? You can pull up a Zoom meeting anywhere in the whole wide world if you look for it. You know, with all the bitching and moaning, I'm sorry, for I can't find a better word right now, that I have done over the last 2 years, one of the benefits of this program has been Zoom. It has actually saved my life, and I'm so grateful for it. So you can find a meeting 24/7 on Zoom. You can pull up a vision for you and listen to those podcasts over 10 and 15 years ago, each and every day. You can pull up a plan of eating. And the other speaker talked about a plan of eating. I tell you, it's a game changer. And not only did I have a plan of eating, not a plan of eating, but an action plan. That's the one I want to speak on, an action plan. I had to come up with an emotional action plan. And so when I say an emotional action plan, what does that mean? Guess what? People, places, and things piss me off. And the way that this compulsive overeater deals with that is by stuffing my face, as if somehow stuffing my face is going to hurt you or get back at you or retaliate at you. And all I'm doing is doing more self-harm to myself. So I had to come up and devise a plan of what to do when I become emotionally distressed. And one of the, you know, I'm just going to call off a couple of them. But one of the things, the initial thing that I had to start doing was to just stop immediately. Stop immediately and take a step back. Take a deep, several deep breaths, depending on how upset you are. But take a deep breath. And then I would ask myself one question. Is there anything I can do about this? And if it was something that I could do about it, I needed to stop and do it right now. If not, let it go and give it to my higher power. That was it. It seemed real simple, seemed so trite, but that was it. That was what I needed to do. I would stop and ask myself those questions. And when I take that step back, guess what? I am allowing some space between me and whatever it is that's agitating me. I am allowing myself to see the person as a living human being who God loves and who I should love also. I am allowing myself to see that person and maybe the hurt, maybe the pain that they're in. But when I'm caught up in things, I am a reactionary person. And my reaction most of the time when I'm backed into a corner is to just lash out. So stopping, taking that deep breath, looking at the person as a human being, those are all things that help me to diffuse the situation. And then I can pick up a journal and write about it. Guess what? When I put pen to paper and let it flow, it takes on a life of its own. It takes on a life of its own. And not only that, I hate making amends. I hate making amends worse than anything in the whole wide world. So if I can write it down, turn it over to my higher power and keep from saying those things, because guess what? Once it's out there, you can't recall it. You can't suck it back up in your mouth and act like it didn't happen. So if I can cut it off at the root, then that's what I want to do. Then I can get some literature. We've got the best 12-step literature in the world. And I've looked at some 12-step literature, so I can say that firsthand. The best literature in the world. Pull it out. Pull out the daily devotion. Pull out the For Today or the Visions of Recovery. Pull out Before You Take That First Compulsive Bite. Pull out your 12 and 12. And look at prayer and meditation. Pull out something. Just take a step back and take an action. We have a toolkit that is available to us at our disposal. There are so many things that we can do besides stuffing our face and stuffing our feelings. Because believe me, it doesn't work. I've tried it. I can attest to the fact that it just doesn't work. All right, so let me see what else. As I said, writing has been a lifesaver for me. I can remember that one time I was very upset with my son about something that he had done. It had to do with money. Insecurity around money is one of my issues. And so somebody suggested to me, take 5 minutes, get a pen and a piece of paper and take a timer and sit down for 5 minutes, write out everything that you want to say to this person as if they were right there. I'm telling you, that paper was on fire. All of the cuss words that I know, all of the upset things that I felt towards my son, all of those things came out on that paper. And I thank God that they came out on that paper, but not out of my mouth to my son, who I love dearly. And when it was over, I could destroy it. And he would never know that these were feelings that I was harboring towards him. Like I said, I hate making amends. So that was one that I was able to avert. So I'm really grateful for all of that. And again, like I said, the action plan, we know it's doable items that we can process each day. Anonymity, we know it speaks for itself. And then we come to service. At the beginning of the pandemic, I was a couch potato. I was angry. I was depressed. I was upset because I had just had carpal tunnel surgery and I was exiled to my house already. And then guess what? I was told that I could not go outside. I was on house arrest. So I'm telling you, the feelings, the anger, the anxiety, they all boiled over. And I was very upset. So what did I do? I found Zoom. We have 4 meetings in Stockton. And so sometimes, yes, I get resentful. I could be doing something else besides running a Zoom meeting. But guess what? It saved my life. The best way that I have found to stay abstinent is to get out of myself and get into this program. And so there was a reading a couple of days ago, I believe it was on October the 28th, where the wonderful quote from Alfred Adler that says, you can be healed of depression if every day you begin the first thing in the morning to consider how you can be a real joy or bring a real joy to someone else. If you can stick to this for 2 weeks, he says, you will no longer need therapy. Isn't that wonderful? And then it goes on to say, it's very simple. Every time I get my mind off myself, I feel better. Each day, I select a member of my family, a friend, a colleague, or an OA member, and think about what I can do for that person. Of course, in making an effort to bring joy to others, I must be careful not to intrude on their lives. Giving advice to someone I am trying to cheer is a temptation I resist. I spend some of my free time planning what I will do. Then at the first opportunity, I carry out the project. It need not be a major undertaking, a phone call, a letter, a small surprise, an offer to babysit or to take an elderly person for a drive. There are so many things to do. One lifetime is not enough. So for today, it isn't necessary to be depressed or to adopt the practice of making others happy. Yeah. Thank you. 5 minutes, Mary. Thank you. So the best way that I know to be of service and to get out of that spirit of depression is to pour myself into my program, pour myself into OA, call someone, text someone, get the literature, live this program. So let me just close, because I could probably talk for another 25 minutes too. But in closing, I'm reminded about a good piece of advice that I heard at one of these workshops that I attended several years ago. And the person who was speaking was saying, you know, Thanksgiving is just another Thursday. I just consider Thanksgiving another Thursday. So let me just say that Sunday, October 31st, is just another Sunday. Thursday, November 25th, is just another Thursday. Saturday, December 25th, is just another Saturday. And Saturday, January the 1st, is just another Saturday. We live this program one day at a time. All we have to worry about is 24-hour increments. And if we're struggling, then we have a higher power. And let me just say, we have a higher power who we can turn all of these problems over to. I have a guide box beside my bed, and I write out those things that are too hard for me. There's no need of me staying awake when God can take care of it. And every now and then, I'll go back to that God box. I'll open it up and I'll try to see what it was that worried me so much that I couldn't sleep. And when I looked through that God box, guess what? Each and everything had been resolved by my higher power without my help. So all we have to worry about is one day at a time. Turn it over to your higher power. This is a spiritual program. We were not meant to work this program on our own. If we could have done it, we wouldn't be here. Thank you for allowing me to share.